Please sit down. Good morning. My name is Michael Gregg. I think I've met most of you over the time, but I'm grateful for an opportunity to speak this morning. We're going through a series called Love Actually, and today we're going to be thinking particularly about the search for fellowship or for meaningful and trustworthy relationships. Summed up by Paul in that first reading as serving, you know, what happens when we are really serving one another in love. But first I want to mention something that was in the newspaper a week ago. This is in the Telegraph, and it was about Bamber Gascoigne, who some of you may remember as a well-known TV presenter. And Bamber Gascoigne unexpectedly inherited a stately home, you know, as you do, not just a stately home, but one packed with treasures. He inherited it from his aunt, and he knew straight away that it was going to be interesting. It would be full of family treasures. And it describes how, after opening up dusty rooms that had not been used for years, they found secrets that even he could not have anticipated. It mentions that despite having spent time there with his aunt, Gascoigne had never actually set foot in the upstairs part of the house. And so as they explored the house that he'd inherited, they discovered a treasure trove of all sorts of things, some of which he sold for over £2 million, but that's a mere detail. As I read that, I thought, this is an amazing picture of the church today. We have an inheritance from God in Jesus that God has prepared for us. An inheritance made possible not because of the death of a great aunt, but because of the death and then the resurrection of Jesus. So it's not a matter of some old lawyer taking us along to find our inheritance. Jesus is there at the door to welcome us and say, come and explore what I have prepared for you. Thinking about this, you know, like Mr. Gascoigne, many of us probably have made frequent visits to our Father's house. We're here today and may be aware that there is a lot more to discover than we have ever realized. But those hidden treasures are our inheritance. They are ours to unlock and discover and enjoy. We had a baptism service during the 9:30 service, and that is so appropriate. Our baptism is not just a certificate telling us of an event that happened. It's effectively the solicitor's letter saying, you have an inheritance. Go out there and find it and enjoy it. So today I want to look at one particular part of that treasure, one that has the potential not just to transform our lives and our church, but our community. And that treasure is fellowship, or relationships that make a difference to our lives. What is fellowship? Well, Christian fellowship is unique. If we really get it and work at it, it's like no other relationship. It's not just being together. It's not just people having a common interest. Some of you may be a member of a football club or a golf club or in a team or a choir, and you form great friendships in doing things like that. But it's not the same as that. It's much more that it's growing together as a family and being drawn together by a common relationship with the one who loves us more than any of us could ever understand or imagine. It's best understood by looking at what Jesus himself said, did and taught. When Jesus was here on earth, he invited people not just to believe in him, but to come to him and be with him, to be his disciples. He gathered together a group of men and women to be with him day by day, to follow him wherever he went, to learn from him, to share in everything that he was doing, and eventually learn to do the same things themselves. Jesus didn't begin a religion or even an organization. Jesus began a community, drawn together by a common relationship with himself and a common purpose. And that purpose was experiencing life with him in his kingdom and helping others to do so as well. In our reading from John's Gospel, he explains this. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you're a gardener and you have a clematis or a wisteria or a rose, you know the importance of rootstock. And when the branches come out, they're drawing all their energy from the rootstock. So he is like the rootstock, and we are like the branches. And we come alive and blossom and flourish and at our best when we're connected to him. Not just flourish if we're not connected to him. It says we are like branches that are cut off and wither and die. Jesus continues, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. He wants us to experience his love for us in the same way that God the Father loves him. But to do that, we need to be part of him. We need to be remaining him. Just simply coming to church once a week or once a fortnight is not sufficient. We need to learn how to be connected to him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He adds, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So he invites us not only into a new relationship with one another that flows from our common relationship with him, and that in turn enriches and deepens our love for others, but on top of that, he gives us joy or deep down contentment. He goes one further. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. He sets the standard for this. The greatest expression of love is self-sacrifice. It's a willingness to put the interests of others before our own. Jesus was willing to go to death on the cross for you and for me. So Christian fellowship, this unique relationship, flows from our relationship with Jesus out to one another and is characterized by love, by joy, and by self-sacrifice. The Apostle Paul writes about this in the letter to the Galatians, and he says, you were called to be free, so use your freedom to serve one another in love. In those of you may remember the Good News Bible that had those lovely line drawings. And in this chapter of Galatians 5 in the Good News Bible, they had a lovely drawing of a group of people walking along a road, sort of pilgrims on a journey. And each person was holding a sack over their shoulder with one hand, and with the other hand supporting the sack of the person in front of them. This was a community of people who knew how to love, care for, and serve one another in practical ways. But in that same chapter, Galatians 5, Paul also talks about what happens when human nature is controlling us. He says, he talks about the fruits of the flesh, the acts of the sinful nature. And when the sinful nature, the natural self, is controlling us, things like discord and jealousy and selfish ambition and dissensions and envy, these sort of things kind of can't help but come out. And these things just put such tension and stress onto relationships. But then the fruit of the Spirit, when the Spirit of Jesus is flowing in us and through us, it's characterized by love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. This is so much that the life of Jesus flowing through us changes our relationship with one another and then is evident to the world around us. So the more we discover that Jesus loves us and responds to that love by living the way he tells us to do, the more we find he transforms our relationships to one another. But what's more, we also find that the closer we get to him, the more he sets us free from the things that inhibit our relationships. This could be shyness or insecurity or selfishness, whatever it is, or the fact that we've been bruised and damaged by relationships in the past. Jesus comes and deals with that and sets us free, really, to love one another. So how can we achieve these kinds of relationships in our church? The obvious answer is this. We accept that we cannot do this alone. We need to be drawing on the resource that Jesus gives us. He is love. He is the source of love. We need to create a culture in our church for caring for one another, looking out for one another, serving one another. And we need to encourage one another, as the writer to Hebrews says, encourage one another to do acts of kindness and service to those around us. If we develop that as a culture in the church, more and more, it'll spill out into the community and affect our whole nation. But that is not easy in a big church, particularly now that we have several congregations and we perhaps know the people who come to the same service as us, but time is always limited, particularly at the morning services. And this is why it is really important that as well as attending a church service, we want to encourage people to be part of a small group. We now call them connect groups. Connect groups meet on different days at different times during the week. They have between 8 and 12 members, so you can really get to know people well and form strong relationships and friendships. They focus on getting to know Jesus better and on finding out how to be and live as his disciples. As we do that, our relationships with one another deepen, and our relationship with Jesus deepens. Members of the group are there to care for, to pray for, to love, and to support one another. And our small groups give us time to discuss, to study, to ask questions, and to pray in an unhurried and more personal and focused way than's possible on a Sunday. Zina and I started a new group just after Easter a year ago. And one of the things that really helped to pull us together is quite a few members of that group were going through some really tough times at that time. And so we had time to talk about that, and we had time to pray for that every week. And every week someone was coming back saying, look, you pray for me about such and such, and this happened. So every week there was the encouragement to pray more, and that, we found, drew us very close together quite quickly, and it also encouraged us to want to get to know Jesus better. So it's where small groups are where we begin to experience the joy of real Christian fellowship. And that then carries over into our meetings in church. And often you see people just chatting together who you know are in a small group during the week. So if you're not part of a connect group, please pick up a leaflet at the back. I'm unashamedly pushing this. I'm responsible for connect groups, but I know what they can do for a church, and I know what they can do for individuals. There's a leaflet at the back. There's a display board at the back, and have a word with me at the end if you'd like to join one. Richard prayed a prayer, which he didn't realize quite what he was praying after the last service. He said, Lord, people feel disconnected at the moment. And that is true. So many people in our society feel disconnected. You have a chance to get connected in joining a connect group. But finally, just thinking again about that beautiful house that poor Bamba Gascoigne had inherited. Baptism is a declaration of our inheritance. And I should think that most of us in this church have been baptized. So let's go out and claim that what is our inheritance, and have fun exploring and discovering the treasures that are waiting for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have so much more in store for us than we would ever even imagine or dream of. And I pray that you would just give us the courage to step out to explore all that you've prepared for us. And we pray particularly for our sense of fellowship and relationship with one another in church and in small groups. And that as we get closer to you, so we may get closer to one another. In Jesus' name, amen.